Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, 866-855-260-EYES, 855-260-EYES. Dr. Jones, longtime friend of the show, practices complete eye care in the metro area, from routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery. He's the best at what he does. 855-260-EYES. Tell them I sent you. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. They're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the school. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Dr. Rick Lehman joins us now. Dr. Rick, good to be with you. How are you? Dr. Rick, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We got you now. Where have you been the last couple of weeks?
I was in Thailand and then Vietnam.
And the purpose?
Actually, a little bit of vacation and a little bit for my wife's skincare products. She's looking at some skincare stuff that they're doing in Vietnam and some packaging, etc. So a little bit of both.
And what do you do in Vietnam and Thailand? What kind of vacationing do you do there? Are you sitting by the pool? Or are you going on tours?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we went skin diving. They had the best skin diving in the world there, scuba diving. So that was pretty interesting. And then, you know, we were visiting some factories. We did do some touring of Saigon and Hanoi. In Saigon, we went in the tunnels from the Vietnam War, which was kind of crazy. And, you know, just basically looking at the city. These cities are manufacturing machines. I mean, it's kind of like China. They manufacture anything you want, and they're just, I mean, there's 13 million people in Saigon, 12 million people in Hanoi, and probably 10 million people in Bangkok. So these are big monstrous cities, and they're just rocking. I mean, just crazy.
All right, let's get to some sports items. Reason why Tiger Woods is chewing gum at the Masters. It's been revealed.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So the guy, him and Phil Mickelson, you know, obviously been on the tour a long time, never saw anybody chewing gum. And there's two schools of thought. One school of thought is it's a concentration thing. And there's definitely a case to be made that chewing gum improves your concentration. And that study has been around forever. That's why pitchers do it. A lot of people will tell you it improves your concentration. There's also some undercurrent. Some people believe that they're spiking the gum with a little Adderall, which is something used for ADD, kind of a little low-level speed, which would also help your concentration and kind of get you up a little bit. So clearly there's a reason all of a sudden these two guys have started chewing gum. My guess is they are probably adding a little something to the gum, either nicotine or something, for a little up. And I think you're going to see a whole lot more golfers now that he's won the Masters starting to chew gum.
What's the enforcement at the PGA level? I mean, we always talk about football and steroids and baseball and performance enhancing. Over the years, have we heard a lot about golfers that have...
Very, very low. So they do get tested intermittently. The testing is very low. You know, there's speculation that guys like Koepka have maybe done some supplements, which I have no firsthand information of. But the testing is very low. So, I mean, I think you could probably on the PGA Tour could get away with a lot. And how much, you know, how much PEDs would help you in golf? I don't know that it would help you all that much. I mean, it's such a mental game. You know, your short game is so important. So, yeah, you might get another 20, 30 yards on your drive, but I don't think you're going to win golf tournaments driving well. You know, you got to putt, you got to chip, and get on the green.
But I'm saying if you're doing like speed or something, like if you decide to spike your gum, I wonder if there's any rules against that.
There probably are, but they're not testing for it, so there'd be no way to get caught.
All right, another topic. You know, as we grow older, we sometimes look back and we say to ourselves, how did our parents let us do that, like with fireworks? Well, another one is trampolines. We used to have a trampoline in our backyard. There can be nothing more dangerous than a trampoline, and now a senator is accusing popular trampoline parks of trying to hide deaths and injuries.
So, you know, this has been an issue in orthopedics probably for 10 years. And probably about 8 or 10 years ago, The American Academy of Pediatrics came out and said, you know, no one really follows this, but there's X amount of deaths a year from trampolines, X amount of neck injuries, X amount of broken bones, and they're probably the most unsafe thing you could possibly do. And everybody, just like you, Frank, kind of gasped and said, oh, my God, we had a trampoline, or we used to be on a trampoline. So then someone decided to start looking at these trampoline parks, not just, you know, home trampolines, but what happens at these trampoline parks. And obviously it'd be bad PR if all of a sudden in the newspaper all the time people were coming out and saying, you know, these things are unsafe. Well, they are unsafe. There's no question about it. So now the center's gotten together and they looked at the numbers, and they're going to try to make sure that people, A, report on the number of injuries, you know, that it is unsafe. This is what the potential is. And B, try to make them safer. But I think that any parent who takes their kid to a trampoline park or has a trampoline, again, you just have to be aware of the risks. And the risks are you can break your neck, and that happens not infrequently in trampolines. You can break your wrist. You can hit your head. But to think that jumping on a trampoline, flipping around is safe just doesn't make any sense. So at least there's some awareness. And, again, I think the listeners out there just have to know, you know, you got to be careful. They're not safe. And, you know, proceed at your own risk.
I probably shouldn't ask a doctor or a lawyer-related question, but when you go to those parks, you're always signing these three-page waivers and everything. And I get the sense if something bad happens, you're going to get sued anyway. I mean, there's still going to be a lawsuit no matter how big the sheet is that you all sign when you walk in the door. I know they all do it, but I always feel like it's sort of fruitless.
Right. So they're clearly, if it was 100% safe, there's a couple ways to look at that. They wouldn't have you signing anything, but it, you know, they're having you assume all the risk by signing that. But still, a lawyer is going to say, well, you know, yes, you assume the risk, but the park didn't really protect you from being injured adequately. So yes, there's going to be a lawsuit. And I think the senators are looking at, A, the number of injuries, the number of lawsuits, the unreported injuries, and really what the risks are. But there's no question that when you go to a trampoline park and you sign that, you know, if you get hurt, you're going to sue the trampoline park. Everybody's going to do that. I agree.
A texter brought up this phrase yesterday, and you're actually familiar with it in terms of marijuana, called the loud. You've heard of that?
Of course.
All right, Martin and I have not.
Frank and I stumbled into it yesterday when we were talking about the weed, and then we learned that it's called the loud. And then Frank's late-night meal last night looked like something people would have after consuming the loud. Frank was eating, like, cheese dip and pretzels and beer.
Beer, cheese dip, a Heineken, wow. And these incredible chips.
Sounds delicious.
Yes. But you're familiar with that, the loud.
Well, so it's not just weed. It's sort of this bomb-ass, great, you know, the best of the best weed. And so,
hold on.
So it's not I'm smoking. When you say, hey, you know, I'm doing the loud or I'm smoking the loud, it's like you just scored this unbelievable, you know, marijuana that's the Dom Perignon of marijuana. And so, you know, it is a great term. And it's a term you're going to hear more in more of an urban setting.
Did you say bomb ass? That was that was incredible. Bomb ass. That's all the description.
Did you get that out of a JAMA magazine?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering, walking the streets of Bangkok, like, hey, man, you want to have a bomb ass time? You get over here. Oh, man.
Now, is the loud sold at some of the shops that you're involved in?
Well, we don't. I don't think we really have, you know, generally the loud is spiked a little bit, and it's you know, like our dispensary sells the purest, you know, medical grade marijuana you can buy, and it's the best of the best. But it doesn't give you I don't smoke marijuana, so I don't really know the difference in terms of your high. But apparently, when people talk about, you know, doing the loud, I think it may even have a little bit of a hallucinogenic effect. I mean, I think it's sort of like kind of like your dinner last night. I think it's all that.
Didn't they used to dip, and I've heard this, they dip marijuana, the cigarettes, in embalming fluid?
Oh, that's old school, yeah, for sure. And Freon, they put Freon in it, which opens up your lungs and, you know, really gives you a giant high.
That is truly, truly bomb ass. Dr. Rick, never, never fails to bring the heat here. He is the founder, the medical director of the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, checking in with us, Martin and Frank. Let's go Blues later tonight. And your former team, the Panthers, scooping up Coach Q. We didn't get to talk to you about that.
That was a good call on their part. I mean, you know, he did really well with the Blackhawks, and he's a good coach and a good friend.
Dr. Rick.
You guys,
what a time to have a cough with the doctor on hold. What's wrong with Martin? Diagnose him right now.
That was a miss sip of soda. Dr. Rick has said, don't drink soda. There it is. Proof. All right. Take care. That was the most awkward ending we've ever had.
Is that, did you get Chick-fil-A for lunch? I have the Chick-fil-A glass.
It is.
You good?
You good,
it is.
Dr.
Okay?
Rick, thank you, right. Dr. Rick. I just did a quick sip of my soda here, and I choked on the soda, and I looked around, and Frank stepped out. He's on assignment, so he was part of that interview, then he just left, and I looked over, and Hoff's having peanuts, and I'm like, somebody,
I'm hungry.
Say something. Let's do this. Since Frank left, I'm going to do five for Hoff, because
wait,
it is. Of course, it's brought to you by Greenville University. We do it in the 11 o'clock hour every day. Sometimes it's five for Chuck. Sometimes it's five for Frank. But today we've got five for Hoff. Thanks to Dan O'Neill, Dr. Rick, Bill DeWitt. It's been a busy 11 o'clock hour, but still some business to do.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
I like how Zion Williamson declared for the draft and everybody reacted. I'm like, yeah, we knew that. We knew that.
There's going to be a bomb-ass segment coming up, Martin.
Have I heard the phrase bomb-ass before?
I have.
You have?
Not from a doctor. Never from a medical professional.
We were breaking down
Can
the line.
Imagine if you're in his office and he goes, I'm going to prescribe you some bomb-ass pills.
Yeah. So your knee's hosed. But I'm going to give you some bomb-ass pills to take care of that pain. Don't worry about it.
All right, number one, let's go scale of 1 to 5. Level of confidence in Jordan Binnington tonight?
I'll say 4.
That's where I'm at. I'm a 4.
I think it gives him a good – he'll do well tonight. I'm not sure if the Blues win, but he gives you a chance tonight.
It is amazing for a guy who hasn't played a whole lot of hockey at the NHL level, 30-plus games, that the majority of people are like, no, he'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think you've seen so much of him over the last 2 months. Now, could be wrong. But I think the general sense is, yeah, he'll be all right. Nobody's worried about the guy.
No.
If Jake Allen gave up 6 goals,
we'd be terrified.
And the next night, you say, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Isn't it crazy? Because Jake's been an NHL goalie for years. If I told you that same scenario, he gives up 6, he's back in net the next game.
Game over, they lost.
Everybody would be like, oh, what are we going to do? But with Binnington, I think part of it is his personality. When you've seen him talk, and he talks a lot, even on game days, he's just like, yeah, that's fine.
He's
whatever.
Very stoic.
Yeah,
I like that from a goalie.
All right, number two, give me your Cardinal surprise and your Cardinal disappointment. 16 games in, so we're, what, 10% of the way into the season. Can I go Cardinal surprise being Ozuna's hitting? That he's been better than I thought?
I think that's one. I think another surprise is bullpen performance outside of Reyes, Miller, and Hicks.
The fact... The big three of Gant, Brebbia, Leone.
Yes. Yeah, I think the outside of the players you expected to be strong out of the bullpen who have either not been or have been in Hicks and kind of waffling on Miller. But I think the pen has proven to be deeper than you expected. Boy, disappointment.
I'd say Hudson.
I think Hudson's – I think the rotation in general is a disappointment.
Rotation in general is fair. I would say Hudson, though – I think I was really excited. Now, he had not been a starter at the big league level. Remember last year it was all bullpen work. And I think he'll be fine, but I've been very disappointed in him.
I was looking at his upcoming starts, assuming they stick with what they have in their rotation. They don't skip any starts. But it's Mets, Nationals, and Phillies. And Martin, they have left-handed power hitters. And Hudson can't get lefties out.
It's a slight problem.
That's a problem. That's an issue that they have, and they have to resolve that soon.
I would think all future Brewer matchups, you may want to avoid Hudson.
Just skip them.
If you can't get left, which leads us to, so my most surprising would be Ozuna's bat. Disappointing would be Dakota Hudson. But number three, five for Frank/Hoff, what would your approach with Yelich be?
You know, Martin, you can walk a guy without throwing him a wall.
That's the just hold up your hand, right?
Yeah.
Four fingers.
And he goes to first base.
Okay, so the first inning, he was up there. It's a 2-0 lead. He bats nobody on. I think you go after him. I think that's fine. Of course. You're not going to walk him there. And they got him out. Okay? Second at bat was that big second inning that's first and third. And if I'm not mistaken, there were two outs. First and third, two outs. And that's when they served up the three-run shot opposite field. I think you could make the case there. Now, granted, it's a new series, but the last time you saw him, he did hit four homers in four games, so you know what he can do. I think you could make the case there to put him on, and it's Travis Shaw hitting behind him, who ended up going 0-for-5. But I think at that point, nobody would have been. But you pitched to him there. I guess you could argue, well, we haven't seen him in 10 days, 2 weeks. We think we can get him out, but you don't.
You got burned that time.
Third at bat.
You walk him. And I got pushback on that.
Third at bat, one out, runner on third, walk him.
Walk him.
Third at bat.
There are two on.
And they did.
There's runners at first and
first
third.
First and third,
right?
I'm sorry. Runners
still,
at first and
walk
third.
Walk him. I do not care. You cannot be beaten by him a third another time in that game. Travis Shaw has a 250 slugging against righties. He's batting 150 versus him. Presently, he came into that game, I think maybe 4-4 his last 28, 29. I mean, you have
a
righty on the mound.
Him. In the third at bat.
Yes.
The third at bat was when they did walk him. And the fourth at bat.
Oh, that's right.
So the third at bat, they did walk him.
Getting my bats mixed up.
Okay, but the fourth at bat was first and second.
That's
one
the
out.
One I was talking
but
about.
The game is tied at six.
You got to walk him then.
First, he's already gone deep now for the fifth straight game against you. So you're very aware of what he can do. Reigning MVP. That's the one right there. And I know Mike Schilt said after the game that was not a consideration.
It should have been.
He said you could argue about bringing in Andrew Miller. But it was first and second. So the lead run is already in scoring position at second.
Yes.
There's only one out. You could argue, all right, I'm going to further my double play chances by loading the base. I think that's the at-bat where I take it out of his hands.
Travis Shaw now is 4-for his last 34 at the plate. I know that includes last night, but even remove those five at-bats, is 4-for his last 29
coming
entering
into the
yesterday's
right,
game.
So you're not scared of the guy
and
behind
him. You are a right-handed heavy bullpen.
So to me, when it's 6-6, first and second, Yelich is up. The potential for a three-run shot is there.
Yes.
I can't let him do that.
No.
I think that's the one there. You walk through all of them. Even when Brebbia faced him later in the game, at that point, he's leading off. I'm like, it's fine. You try and get him out. Maybe you don't throw it right down the middle. I mean, I'm not a pitching coach, but maybe you don't throw it right down the middle.
Try hitting a corner? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, Brad Thompson even said on the game, maybe you bust him inside a little bit.
Maybe.
Or he said, I think I saw two pitches the whole game to Yelich that were inside.
Maybe you look at the at-bats against other teams, because other teams seem to get him out just fine.
They said he came in struggling, and he showed up at Miller Park early on Monday for some extra BP.
Huh.
I'm like, no, you're fine.
No, do extra BP against another team.
Cause... And I joked about it. You know, Dave Duncan always had that giant telephone book type book that a binder he's flipping through during the game. I don't care if your book's that big on Yelich. Whatever you have, throw it away.
It's wrong.
Whatever you have. So tonight, let's say the first guy gets on. So Yelich is now up with a runner on. Do you walk him to go first and second, nobody out?
I think you do.
I'd have to honestly think about it.
You have to ponder it. You do not know how to get him out. That's quite clear this early in the season.
All right, number four, 5 for Frank/Hoff. You are Doc Rivers.
Ooh.
You were walking around San Francisco.
Yes.
Golden State's playing the Clippers. You dropped $2,000. Somebody picked it up and gave it back to you. Why are you carrying $2,000?
That's my
cash?
Question. I read that this morning. I have $10 in cash on me. Very rarely do I
get
I have,
it. You got $10. I get it.
Very rarely do I have more than, let's say, $40 on me cash at hand. I don't like carrying a lot of cash just in case something happens and I lose it or someone takes it from me. That would be a bad feeling. $2,000 in cash is a lot of cash. And I know that he's significantly wealthier than I am, being an NBA head coach.
But what do
that's
you need
still,
that
yeah,
for?
Yeah, what do you
if
have
you're
it
buy
for?
Some, let's say you're going to buy something that costs $1,500. You're probably going to put it on your debit or credit.
Yeah, right, Jack.
So rarely are you going to buy something in that $1,800 thing that they're like, oh, you got cash? Good. You don't really need.
No.
Now, maybe he tips really well.
Good for him.
And maybe he just walks around all day giving
maybe
people.
Maybe he anticipates tipping the workers in the locker room for
right.
the Warriors. Maybe
like
that's
just,
what it's for. That's the
but
only
it is a
thing
fair
I can
question.
Think of.
Who, like, I'll bet you right now, Donald Trump Doesn't it, do you think he has any money in his wallet?
No.
You don't need any?
No.
And when's the last, I think it was even said by Obama or Bush or these folks that they went somewhere one time and they realized they didn't even have a wallet. Like they did, they're just so used to not having cash on hand. All right, number five.
And what's the max withdrawal for ATMs?
Maybe and I realized that Doc Rivers, $2,000 might be the equivalent of us having a five or something, but still, that's just a lot of money.
That's
just
a lot.
For what reason are you carrying? All right, number five, you are either the construction worker.
Oh, God.
Or the construction company.
Oh, no.
That led to the error, the mistake, the fire at Notre Dame. And by the way, I have never been to the cathedral in Paris, so I was unable to post a picture of myself.
You now know all of your Facebook friends who have been there.
What was crazy was how quickly everyone picked up on how obnoxious it was.
Yes.
And it quickly turned from like, look at me, I was there. Oh my God, I was there 5 years ago. Well, I was there 2 years ago. Look at me, I was at Notre Dame. And then all of a sudden the backlash kind of kicked in where everybody said, just stop it, we get it. You went there, good for you. But what if you are the construction worker or the company and they say, oh, it turns out you're faulty wiring? Because they were doing work on the cathedral.
Oh, my God. Martin, this church survived two world wars.
Right.
But they couldn't survive your renovation?
Also, a couple revolutions.
Yes.
There's a couple other wars.
This church has seen a lot down.
There's a guy in Paris on 97.8, the frog, that no longer will do the live reads for that company.
Yes.
Hey, they bring you five for Francis. And they're like, no, not anymore. Can you imagine? Because they said not arson, not a terrorist act. It appears to be related to the work being done. And I got to give Rock credit. It was late in the midday grind, coveted hour yesterday. And he said, oh, the Cathedral of Notre Dame is burning. I'm like, what? How do you know? And then it became the story of the day.
You know, when you're in history class in grade school and high school and you read about these great monuments and you see, oh, there was an accident and couple hundred years ago and some of it burned down, you're like, well, that's dumb, how could they be so careless? And now we just witnessed it.
That's a great point.
It just happened.
I didn't even think about that
a day.
That's a great point. And really, when you think about our technology, and I was reading stories and they were like, there were literally points where they were just like, yeah, we're not gonna be able to save that part because we can't get high enough and we can't get the water downwards. It's like, it's kind of crazy when you think about all the technology we have that 1,000 years ago we built buildings tall enough.
Yeah.
That there's issues with now saving them from a fire. That's like just that ABC connection kind of blows your mind when you think about it.
And how about Selma Hayek? I saw this on Twitter. Apparently her husband is a billionaire. I have no idea who the guy is. Said he immediately offered $130 million to rebuild. And I'm like, can you imagine being that guy? You're like watching the news and like, oh, that's terrible.
So hey, I personally think,
tell them they could have $130
million. I think the Vatican should just, you know, sell like two or three things in the vault.
That'll get
the money. I'm just saying, they got something under there that somebody wants to buy.
Charlie Tuna chiming in. Brothers carry cash, meaning Doc Rivers, said, I always carry at least $300.
Why?
Which I wouldn't tell people that.
Why would you tell people that?
Yeah, the way you walk around trying to get in buildings, you may be a little vulnerable, Chuck. All right, it is 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Martin, you got to join the Cam Jansen Show on Friday at the Social Bar and Grill for your chance to win tickets to Game 6 of the Blues versus the Jets. Cam will be broadcasting live from 5 to 6 p.m. The Social Bar and Grill is located at 4265 Revis Barracks Road. And the next Team A Live is brought to you by Bud Light. It'll be taking place on Wednesday, May 29th at Hot Shots in Fenton to kick off the 4th annual free Dotem Open. Come out and partake in fellowship with the show and fellow Lemmings. Once again, that is May 29th, the Hot Shots in Fenton. That's located at 950 South Highway Drive.
All right, late for the coveted hour. Shame on us. Midday grind next here on 590 The Fan.